Welcome to Zichu Dafsi Man Memor Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Beya Dav Vav, the first parak, Beis Hashanol DeBiyantav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav has said, Meis B'Yom Tov Rishon Yisasku Bo Amamim. Regarding a corpse that awaits burial, if burial occurs on the first day of Yantav, Nachrim should involve themselves with it. Meis B'Yom Tov Sheni Yisasku Bo Yisrael. If burial occurs on the second day of Yantav, Jews should involve themselves with it. Regarding burial, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is treated leniently like the second day of other Chagim. Marzuta said the permission for a Jew to perform the burial was granted only if the burial had been delayed and there was concern that the corpse would decay. Rav Ashi said that even if the burial had not been delayed, we do not delay it after Yantav because Yom Tov Sheni L'Gabi Meis Kochos Shnuyi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan established the second day of Yantav as a weekday for a corpse. One is even allowed to cut shrouds or hadassim for the corpse. Ravina said that nowadays that there are chavrei who compel the Jews to work for them. We're concerned that if they see Jews burying the dead on Yantav, they will make them work for them as well. Rashi explains that the chavrei were an evil nation during the Persian era. Point number two was taught Efroach Shanolad B'Yantav. Regarding a chick that was hatched on Yantav, Rav said that it is Aser, but Shmuel and some say Rabbi Yochanan said that it is Mutter. The Gemara explains that Rav said it is Aser because it's Muksa, but Shmuel and some say Rabbi Yochanan said that it is permitted Hoil Umatu Atzmo B'Shchita. Since with its hatching it can become permitted through Shchita, it does not become Muksa. An unhatched chick may not be eaten since it's included in the prohibition against eating a sheretz, a creeping creature. Rush explains that hatching causes its status to change to that of a food, which may be eaten after shechita. Now, since the process of hatching can remove the prohibition against eating a sheretz from upon the chick, hatching also has the power to remove the muksa prohibition that was on it. When Rav Kahan and Rav Asi asked Rav what the difference is between this chick and a calf that was born on Yantav, which is not considered muksa, he answered them, Hoil umuchna gavimo b'shchita. Since the calf was prepared on account of its mother through shchita, it remains prepared after its birth. A newly hatched chick, on the other hand, could not have been eaten what was still in its shell. Since it's muksa then, it's muksa now. The Gemara will further analyze the machlokas. And pointing me through, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Beitza imitziyatsa nigmara. An egg, upon its exit from the mother hen, becomes fully formed. The Gemara asks, what was meant by upon its exit becomes fully formed? And after many interpretations are rejected, it concludes, imitziyatsa nigmara umagadelas efrochim. Upon its exit from the hen, the egg becomes fully formed, and if fertilized, can produce chicks. But me'ima inumagadelas efrochim. However, when an egg is taken from its mother's innards, it cannot produce chicks. The Gemara asks what the nafka mean is, and answers Lamecha Kumemkar, concerning the halakhas of sales. Rashi explains that if a buyer requested eggs from which chicks will hatch, but was sold eggs taken from the hen's insides, the sale is invalid. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav has said, Meis B'Yom Tov Rishon Yisasku Bo Amamim. Regarding a corpse that awaits burial, if burial occurs on the first day of Yantav, Nachrim should involve themselves with it. Meis B'Yom Tov Sheni Yisasku Bo Yisrael. If burial occurs on the second day of Yantav, Jews should involve themselves with it. Regarding burial, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is treated leniently like the second day of Adar Chagim. Marzutra said that permission for a Jew to perform the burial was granted only if burial had been delayed and there was concern that the corpse would decay. Rav Ashi said that even if the burial had not been delayed, we do not delay it after Yantav because Yomtav Gabi Meis Kachoshnu Yerabban. The Rabbanan established the second day of Yantav as a weekday for a corpse. One is even allowed to cut shrouds or hadassim for the corpse. Ravina said that nowadays that there are chavrei who compel the Jews to work for them. We're concerned that if they see Jews burying the dead on Yantav, they will make them work for them as well. Rashi explains that the chavrei were an evil nation during the Persian era. Point number two was taught Efroach Shenolad B'Yantav. Regarding a chick that was hatched on Yantav, Rav said that it is Aser, but Shmuel and some say Rabbi Yochanan said that it is Mutter. The Gemara explains that Rav said it is Aser because it's Muksa. But Shmuel, and some say it was Rabbi Yochanan, said that it's permitted, Hoil matu atzmo b'shchita, since with its hatching it can become permitted through shchita, it does not become muksa. An unhatched chick may not be eaten since it's included in the prohibition against eating a sheretz, a creeping creature. Rashi explains that hatching causes its status to change to that of a food which may be eaten after shchita. Now, since the process of hatching can remove the prohibition against eating a sheretz from upon the chick, hatching also has the power to remove the muksa prohibition that was on it. When Rav Kahan and Rav Asi asked Rav what the difference is between this chick and a calf that was born in Yantav, which is not considered muksa, he answered them, Hoil muchan agav imo b'shchita. Since the calf was prepared on account of its mother through shchita, it remains prepared after its birth. A newly hatched chick, on the other hand, could not have been eaten while it's still in its shell. Since it's muksa then, it's muksa now. The Gemara will further analyze the machlokas. And pointing me through, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Beitzei mitziyatzah nigmara. An egg, upon its exit from the mother hen, becomes fully formed. The Gemara asks, what was meant by upon its exit becomes fully formed? And after many interpretations are rejected, it concludes, mitziyatzah nigmara umegedelas efrochim. Upon its exit from the hen, the egg becomes fully formed, and if fertilized, can produce chicks. But me'ima ena megedelas efrochim. However, when an egg is taken from its mother's innards, it cannot produce chicks. The Gemara asks what the nafkamin is, and answers l'mechol chomemkar, concerning the halachas of sales. Rashi explains that if a buyer requested eggs from which chicks will hatch, but was sold eggs taken from the hen's insides, the sale is invalid. All right, so now we go to a simmer dav vav, and our standard simmon is a sword, because a vav is straight like a sword, so sword is our simmon. Here goes. Nachrim digging a grave with swords to bury a yid on yantiv, almost impaled a muksa chick that just hatched from an egg that was fully formed upon its exit and was sold at a premium. Once again, slow motion. Nachrim digging a grave with swords, that must be more dav vav. Nachrim digging a grave with swords to bury a yid on yantiv, which reminds us, Rava said meis miyom to rishon yisasku bo amamim regarding a corpse that awaits burial. If burial occurs on the first day of yantiv, Nachrim should involve themselves with it. Meis miyom to sheni yisasku bo yisrael. If burial occurs on the second day of yantiv, Jews should involve themselves with it. Regarding burial, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is treated leniently like the second day of Adar Chagim. So Nachrim digging a grave with swords to bury a yid on yantiv, almost impaled a muksa chick that just hatched, which reminds us, there's malchus regarding a frog shendol b'yantiv, regarding a chick that was just hatched on yantiv. Rav said that it's atzma because it's muksa, but Shmuel and some say Rabbi Yochanan said that it's permitted hoyol umatcha atzma b'shchita, since with its hatching it can become permitted through shchita, it does not become muksa. An unhatched chick may not be eaten, since it's included in the prohibition against eating a sheretz, it's a creeping creature. Where she explains that hatching causes its status to change to that of a food which may be eaten after shchita, and since the process of hatching can remove the prohibition against eating a sheretz from upon the chick, hatching also has the power to remove the muksa prohibition that was upon it. So, Nachrim digging a grave with swords to bury yid on yantiv almost impaled a muksa chick that just hatched from an egg that was fully formed upon its exit and was sold at a premium. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Beitza im yitziyasat nigmara, an egg, upon its exit from the mother hen, becomes fully formed. The Gemara asks what this means and concludes, im yitziyasat nigmara umegedela sefrochim, upon its exit from the hen, the egg becomes fully formed and, if fertilized, can produce chicks. However, when an egg is taken from its mother's innards, it cannot produce chicks. The nafkamina is l'mechol chomemkar, concerning the halakas of sales. Rashi explains that if a buyer requested eggs from which chicks will hatch, but was sold eggs taken from the hen's insides, the sale is invalid. So once again, Nachrim digging a grave with swords to bury a yid on yantiv almost impaled a muksa chick that just hatched from an egg that was fully formed upon its exit and was sold at a premium. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf base. So the simmer daf base is a house. So here it goes. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house. House, that must be on daf base. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on yantiv, which reminds of the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'ah shenol de b'yantiv be'shamay omrim te'achil, be'sil omrim o te'achil. Concerning an egg that was laid in yantiv, be'shamay say it may be eaten on yantiv, and be'sil say it may not be eaten. The Gemara asks, what type of hen are we dealing with? Rav Nachman said that the mission refers to a hen that was omeretz l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, and the one who subscribes to a broad application of the laws of muksa, referring to Rabbi Yehuda, subscribes to also to the prohibition of nolad, while the one who rejects a broad application of muksa laws, referring to Rabbi Shimon, also rejects a prohibition of nolad. Beis Shammai permit one to eat the egg because they hold like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of nolad, whereas Beis Hillel forbid it because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of nolad. So the kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on yantiv. Were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on yantiv, which reminds the Gemara asks why Rebbe who formulated the Stam Mishnayos formulated those in Shabbos more leniently, like Rabbi Shimon, whereas those regarding yantiv he formulated according to the more stringent view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers regarding Shabbos, whose laws are more restrictive, and so people will not come to treat it disrespectfully. Rebbe formulated a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon, who is more lenient. However, regarding yantiv, whose laws are somewhat more liberal, and so people will come to treat it disrespectfully, Rebbe formulated a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is more stringent. So the kids who were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on yantiv were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on yantiv that it was forbidden to eat. since it had been prepared the day before, on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi's explanation of the Mishnah is that we're actually dealing with a tarnagoas or medesal achila, a hen that was designated for consumption and is therefore not muksa. And we're discussing a case of an egg that was laid on Yantav that fell after Shabbos, and Beis Hillel prohibits its consumption, mishum hachana, because of the principle of preparation. For Rabbi holds that any egg laid today became fully formed inside the hen yesterday. And Rabbi follows his own reasoning, for he said, that which is written by Yabba Yom HaShishi Be'echinu Asher Yaviyu, and it will be on the sixth day that they shall prepare the man which they bring, which teaches us that Chol Mechin LeShabbos V'Chol Mechin LeYantav, a weekday prepares for Shabbos and a weekday prepares for Yantav, but Yantav cannot prepare for Shabbos, nor can Shabbos prepare for Yantav. Beis Hillel therefore prohibit an egg laid on Yantav since its preparation occurred on Shabbos. Daf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel rider, that must be run Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camel rider trying to dodge fruit, falling from a tree, and stepping in puddles of flowing juice. Which reminds us, more brings two more explanations for the Mishnah on why an egg laid on Yantav is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, Gezer Mishum Peres Anoshim is a Gezer because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on Yantav, which is prohibited by a decree lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, Gezer Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. The egg laid on Yantav is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on Yantav, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on Yantav and transgress the malacha of dash, threshing. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly knows an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why Rav Yosef didn't explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rav Yosef would say an egg is food and fruits are food in contrast to juice, which is not a food but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say an egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffix whether it had been laid on Yantav. Which reminds the Gemara, why is an egg that was a suffix whether it was laid on Yantav usher according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak? Why should the suffix be usher since kol suffix the Rabban lakula? Every suffix the Rabban is lakula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara brings Rav Ashi and Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it is a davar sheyesh matirin, an item that will become permitted, meaning after Yantav, but called davar sheyesh matirin afil b'dor Rabban lobatil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now prohibited in the Rabbanan, cannot become nullified in a mixture. And Rashi explains that just as we're machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of a suffix. Daf Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Dalet is a door, so here goes. The hen hanging out by the door, that must be one Daf Dalet. The hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, Chaim say in the name of Eliezer, Beitza Te'achel Hi Be'ima, an egg that was laid in Yantav may be eaten both it and its mother hen. Rabbi Zera says that the Braisa means Te'achel Agav Ima, that the egg may be eaten on account of its mother, which Rashi explains to mean that if the hen is eaten, then the egg may be eaten. Abaya clarified that the case is when one purchased the hen before Yantav for no divine purpose. If he shachted on Yantav, then the hen has been determined to have been designated for consumption, and the egg is permitted. If it was not shechted, then it's been determined that it was designated to produce eggs, and so the hen and the egg are muksa. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, which reminds us, Rav Masna said, if branches fell from a palm tree directly into an oven in Yantav, one may add onto them other wood that had been prepared for kindling and may burn them. Gemara explains that since the majority of the wood is not muksa, when he moves the wood around, he's moving only permitted wood. Rashi explains that the muksa is batel b'rov, it's nullified in the majority. When the Gemara further questions why this is permissible, given the rule that ein mevatlin issur l'chatchila, we do not deliberately nullify a prohibited item, it answers that this rule only applies to the rices, not to the rabbanans. And being that the wood is being burned up in the fire, it's also not a problem of davar sheyeshul matirin. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, where food was cooking for the family, we made sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni with a festive meal. Which reminds the Gemara why we observe 2 days of Yom Tov in Gaulis. Now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is established, referring to the knowledge that was gleaned from the fixed calendar introduced by Hillel, the final Nasi at the end of the Amoraic era, the Gemara answers, it's because of the following message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hizaharu b'minhag avosechem yedechem, be careful to perpetuate the custom of your fathers that's in your hands, and continue to observe 2 days of Yom Tov, For someday, the Gentile government may issue a decree forbidding Limud Torah, because you'll subsequently forget the intricacies of calculating Rosh Chodesh, you'll come to err. Rashi explains that mistakes and calculations could ultimately lead to eating chametz on Pesach. Daf Hey. So the Zimmer Daf Hey is Hey. So here goes. The two witnesses on their way to give Eidos of Chodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides. Hayrides? That must be more on Daf Hey. The two witnesses on the way to give Eidos HaKodesh were delayed, which reminds us that on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Rav ruled that an egg-laid on the first day of Yontif is mutter on the second day of Yontif, since the 2 days are not considered Kedusha Achas, one long period of holiness. Regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel ruled, Nol Debezeh Asur Bezeh, an egg-laid on the first day of Yontif is prohibited on the second day of Yontif. Rashi explains that these 2 days were certainly established as one long Yontif, as the second of Yontif was not originally observed on account of doubt. Rather, a continuous 2-day Rosh Hashanah was decreed when witnesses arrived after the afternoon Tamid. Rabbi said that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, when Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai enacted the basin would accept witnesses for Eidos HaKodesh the entire day, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah became permitted on the second day. Rashi explains that since the second day was now only kept out of doubt, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were treated like other Yom Tovim, and the egg was permitted because one of the days was actually chol. So the two witnesses on their way to give Eidos HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides, carrying families back from their trip to a mountain. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef disputed Rabbi's ruling and said even from the time of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai's Takana and onward, when they accepted witnesses the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah remains prohibited on the second day. Because the prohibition on the egg was a law passed by an assembly of sages, and any law passed by a ballot requires another ballot to repeal it. Rashi explains that an assembly of sages must formally rescind the enactment, even though its rationale no longer exists. Rabbi Yosef brings 3 proofs for this principle, the first one based on the Pasuk, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to tell Bnei Yisrael to return to their tents, when earlier, before the revelation, Bnei Yisrael were told to separate from their wives. So the two witnesses on their way to give Eidos HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides carrying families back from their trip to a mountain, as well as by hordes of locals carrying their camera of eye up to Yerushalayim. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef's third source for Kol Davar Shebeminyan Sarach Minyan Acher LaHatiro was from a tekana that required all camera of eye brought us in the 4th year that was within a day's travel to Yerushalayim to be brought up to Yerushalayim and not be redeemed on money. Who explained that the reason was La'atir Shuk Yerushalayim Beperos, to adorn the markets of Yerushalayim with fruit. A brice was brought that relates that when Rabbi Eliezer wanted to be mafkir his produce for the poor because it was too difficult for him to take them to Yerushalayim, his Talmidim told him that the decree had been rescinded. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yosef brought this third proof to demonstrate that even though the enactment to bring the Kerem Ravai produce to Yerushalayim was from the Rabbanan, and not like the first two which were derices enacted by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it still required Beis Din to rescind the Takana. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Zichron, a great day and great learning.